You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to First Take. We got a quick take for you. The Lakers, without LeBron, stormed back from 19 points down in the fourth to pull up a double overtime win against the Bucks. Legs, was this a statement win by LA?
Absolutely was. And look, if you don't take my word for it, take Darvin Ham's word for it. He said it was one of the best wins of the year. He said top three or four wins of the year. Might be their best win. Because it kept the winning streak alive, first of all. It's a modest one, but at this time of year, it's really important. But more importantly, it's the fact they did it without LeBron on the road against a really good team that's playing well. And they were the ones that made the winning plays at the end of the game, primarily with role players and then a huge, huge defensive night out of Anthony Davis. But Austin Reeves, Spencer Dinwiddie, those guys were amazing. They outplayed the Bucks stars in crunch time. So, yes, statement win for the Lakers, and good times keep rolling right now. They feel good about themselves.
All right, let's keep it going, guys. The Warriors' trend of having more wins on the road than at home continued last night. Klay Thompson returned to the starting lineup and scored 28 points. Jonathan Kuminga added 18, and the Warriors pulled away in the second half to beat the still shorthanded Miami Heat 113-92. Steph Curry had an epic three from the Heat logo. Curry still believes his squad can do something in these playoffs. Take a listen.
Our record doesn't, you are what your record is. I mean, that's what the line is, but we do feel like we've kind of underachieved on that front. But there's still belief that you can get hot, that you can establish the identity that you need to have to be a team that can win four games against anybody in the Western Conference in a playoff series. And until we don't have that opportunity anymore, we're going to still believe it.
You are what your record says you are, the great Bill Parcells. The Lakers have been stuck in the number nine spot for a while jockeying for position continues. The Warriors' win last night puts them one game up on the Rockets for that final play-in spot. Houston, the hottest team in the NBA, riding a nine-game winning streak. Our crew is back. Tim Legler, Brian Windhorst, and, of course, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. All right, Chris, let me ask you this. Are the Warriors in danger of missing the play-in tournament?
I think they definitely get in. They have tiebreaker over Houston. I think if they have to win a couple games at the end to get that 10th spot, they will. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to win two games on the road to get into the main body of the postseason. Because if they're the 10th seed, they're going to have to beat the 9th seed, might be the Lakers. And if they win that game, that doesn't get them in. They got to play the loser of 7 and 8. On both on the road. So just to make the playoffs, guys, they're going to win two road games just again, and then they're going to probably play Denver. So I'm not sure what the length of their postseason schedule would be, but I do think they'll at least get into the play-in spot.
It's favorable for them right now. I think they're going to get in, too. And their schedule is significantly easier than Houston's. I think Golden State has five games remaining against teams playing for absolutely nothing. You've got to take care of business on all of those. Then they've got a few other teams. Just hold your head above water, go 500 in those games, you're going to get in. The big one is next Thursday. They play Houston next Thursday. And even though they have the tiebreaker already, if they go into that game and there's still one game up, and they beat Houston to go two games up with the tiebreaker, it's a wrap. They're going to get in. That is the game. It's next Thursday night. It's a huge one. Listen, what Steph Curry said, there's a lot of truth in it. If you look at it from the standpoint, they've played more close games than any team in the league. And they've had wildly inconsistent years out of a lot of guys on that roster and injuries. And yet they're still kind of floating around. And they have nights like last night when Klay plays like that and you still go, wow, there's still a team that's so compelling and interesting and potentially dangerous. But right now, all they have to focus in is, let's just get us in to a play-in situation, and we'll take a shot any night of the week with those two players, particularly Steph and Klay.
Wendy?
Yeah, oddly, they're a better road team than they are at home, which is something that is sort of epitomizes their season. My concern with them is that even now, 70 games into the season, they still don't know how to play. And that was shown last night. They got a break when Jimmy Butler was a late scratch in this game due to an illness, and that no doubt played a factor. Steve Kerr changed his lineup again, putting Klay Thompson back in the starting lineup, and it was a great move. He had 28 points. It was a terrific game. Obviously, they've got to take care of business. On this road trip, they have a pivotal game tonight in Orlando, second night of a back-to-back. Orlando's better rested. They're playing for positioning. That's going to be a tough one. But then their next two games are at Charlotte and at San Antonio. They should be able to take care of this. I think they're in okay position. My bigger concern is, again, they don't have a formula. Kerr has been all over the place trying to look for something. Just when it looked like he had something going, Steph, you know, sprains his ankle. They haven't really gotten back to that rhythm. More than anything else, I just need to see them knowing what they're going to get on Wednesday versus what they had on Tuesday. And I think if they get that, then we have a different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, I want to come right back to you on this. Do you feel like it's time to break up that Warriors core? I won't call it the big three anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, Joe Lacob, their owner, gave a very interesting interview in February. Now, when he gave this interview, they were really rolling and it looked like they had their stuff together. And I think that's important context. But he said in this interview with The Athletic, our plan, I think he said either plan one or plan 1A, I think those were his words, is to get under the luxury tax next season. And I don't blame him. They have paid hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes over the last decade. This year's roster is costing them over $380 million, including the taxes. I don't mind him saying we got to get out of this because it's not just the actual money. Being that far into the tax affects what you can do as a team. The only way to do that, guys, is to break this team up. I mean, you can't have both unless somebody's taking minimum contracts or something like that. And so that means either they're going to let Chris Paul go. And Chris Paul, not that he's a transformational player, but if you pick up the option in his contract, you can trade that for a big piece with draft picks. Or they're letting Klay Thompson go. And so it's not, again, I don't want you to focus on Chris Paul. I want you to focus on the Chris Paul roster spot, $30 million piece that they could use to get something else. If they're going to get under that tax, and that's truly plan 1A, as he says on the record, they have to be broken up. There's no way to functionally, massively improve their roster, and you're going to be negotiating with Klay in some sort of pay cut situation that potentially he's going to have other bidders on. So I don't even think it's a question mark. I think it's a statement of fact, and I think they're going to try to lean in to their young players and find a mix. And you know, they actually can give Steph another year this summer. They can give him a 1-year contract extension, and that'll be interesting if he's in the mood to do that or if they're in the mood to do that. That'll be kind of a referendum on his opinion of what they might do. But I think they're absolutely, in one form or another, breaking this team up.
Well, Wendy, the only problem I have with that is, well, first of all, the two moves you're talking about, Chris Paul and Klay Thompson, that, I wouldn't describe that necessarily as blowing it up. Those are options. Klay Thompson has an option to leave if he wants to. They offered him 2 years, 48 going into the season. He didn't necessarily like those numbers. You see the way he's played this year. I personally think Klay Thompson stays in Golden State, and I think Klay Thompson stays for something similar to what they offered him a year ago based on how he played this year. I really think there's something to it with Klay Thompson wanting to stay his entire career in Golden State and play with Steph Curry. I do believe that. I'm not saying it's out of the question. It's certainly nothing I'm surprised by in this league anymore. That's not exactly blowing it up. When I think blowing it up, like what that means, what are you doing with Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins? I mean, they owe those two guys $160 million over the next 3 years. What are you getting in return that keeps you competitive?
Nothing.
That's my
point.
And if you have Steph Curry on your roster, 36 years old, I believe he is, like every year, it's incumbent upon you to try to stay competitive. I don't think you can go into a mode where you get back assets with Steph Curry at this stage of his career, where he plays out the rest of the way on bad teams. I think there's a difference.
There's a difference between the concept of a rebuild and the concept of a breakup. Because I didn't even Kevon Looney, who's been part of their four championships, has also got an option, a team option in his contract. There's other ways, you know, to use the word breakup that doesn't mean necessarily rebuild, but there's no way this team is coming back this expensive as structured next year. To me, that's they're going to break up some giant pieces.
Well, here's the way I would answer it. Are the Golden State Warriors with Curry going to win another championship? And the answer is no. They are not a champion. Last year, they were fortunate to get out of the series against Sacramento. They lost badly to the Lakers. Curry, as you just said, Timmy's 36 years of age. I don't know what they're going to do with Thompson. Green's not young. They're two games over 500. They are not winning an NBA championship. You know, they are like a lot of those teams when they get old. These franchises getting, Bird didn't win championships at the end of his career. The Bulls haven't really been back as a big-time team since Jordan's left. The Spurs have been a mess. It's very difficult to win four or five championships, keep the same guys because of contractual things, and then what are you going to do? you're going to probably be 42-40. So I think they're going to be in this situation for the foreseeable future until Curry retires, where they're going to be fighting at the bottom end of the postseason in the Western Conference, try to sneak in, maybe catch a little magic. But as far as them playing in middle of June for a title with this core, meaning Green and Curry, I don't think that's going to happen.
I completely agree with that. Those days have sailed, but I do think if Steph Curry's on your roster and he hasn't had a precipitous decline in his game,
you have to try to be competitive.
You got it. What choice do you have? Because if you go and think about trading those guys, first of all, are you even getting back younger assets to help you win? I don't think so. So it's easy to say it. Yeah, you know what? Blow it up. Look at the results the last few years. To actually pull it off and put players around a player like Steph Curry, a transcendent generational player that is still playing at a really high level, stay competitive, that's going to be very difficult to do. I do agree with you, though. I think, unfortunately, Steph Curry era has ended in terms of winning championships.
And I think he's going to retire as a Warrior.
The choice that they have is to keep spending because they could take Chris Paul's contract. They have two first-round picks they could trade and go into the market and do something, or to cut spending. To me, that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to continue to spend like this to surround Steph, or are you not? And the owner is on the record saying plan 1A is to stop spending. I mean, I'm standing on that, and I think I'm sure everybody in the Bay heard him say that.
Yeah. All right. Dre and Steph are still under contract through next season. We will leave it there when we come back on First Take, back to the NFL. Will there be a quarterback controversy in Pittsburgh? We disagree about whether the Steelers will have to rethink their decision on who will be under center this season. Ryan Clark, Kimberly A. Martin will be here for that, and our favorite dog is here. So you know what that means. My favorite segment of the week, when he goes on his epic rant and tells us what's got him fired up this week. Don't go anywhere. More First Take in a moment.
I think, truthfully, there's too many moments to choose from, but if I had to pick just one, I think my favorite might be Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs, The Battle of the Sexes. And it was a battle for $100,000, but it was for so much more than that. It was for respect and equality and for women to be seen as capable and equal. And that is something that I think back to, that I've read a lot about, that I watch movies about, because there's so many times where we walk into a room and we're automatically assumed to be less than. And Billie Jean King, she put us on the map as equal.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Year in and year out, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have been able to remain a winning team, but they have yet to find a consistent starter at quarterback or postseason success since Big Ben Roethlisberger. Now Pittsburgh switching it up, overhauling their quarterback room by bringing in former MVP Russell Wilson on a one-year deal and training for quarterback Justin Fields, someone who Tomlin is very high on. Take a listen.
He loses talent and potential. He's worn the responsibility of being a franchise quarterback, but still he gets an opportunity to come into a community-like situation and learn from a guy that's been doing it for over a decade. Man, there's a lot of meat left on that bone, man. I'm just excited about working to be a part of extracting it.
Kimberly A. Martin is in the building. Good to see you, girl. Thank you so much for being with us. Of course, Mad Dog and Ryan Clark. RC, you won the Super Bowl with this squad, so you do the honor, sir. Do you think there is going to be a quarterback? Like, I want to know what it is going to be like. A quarterback controversy between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
I mean, I think, and Kimberly said this a lot, so I don't want to steal her thought. The word controversy is sort of making it seem like there's going to be a negative connotation around it. I think this is going to eventually be a quarterback competition. There's going to be a decision that has to be made by Mike Tomlin that has Justin Fields shown us enough to not only be the quarterback of the right now, but the quarterback of the future. And that's difficult to learn from OTAs until the end of training camp or the end of preseason. But when I hear that Russell Wilson is the starter or Russell Wilson is in pole position, that means that the decision is not final. And I think Coach Tomlin recognizes the upside to having Justin Fields. He knows the talent that Justin Fields is. He's still younger than Russell Wilson was. And maybe Russell Wilson was once some of these things that Justin Fields is now, but he no longer is those things. And you understand, if you give Justin Fields, in my opinion, an opportunity to win this quarterback competition outright, I believe he does. I believe his floor is as high as Russell Wilson's floor will be, but his ceiling is way above where Russell is right now. And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you should want Justin Fields to win this job.
Yeah, I can understand that. I do think that Wilson is going to start week one. I don't think there's anything in training camp. I think he's going to start week one. Now, he is not good enough. And with Fields there, who is pretty good, I think there will be a situation in the course of the year where Wilson will be a little spotty. And Tomlin, you know, he got Pickett out of there. He didn't start him late in the year. I could see him going to Fields. They got to find out if he's any good anyway, because they got to pay him down the road. So I think Fields will get an opportunity this year. But I do think Wilson will start the season. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's good enough to be out there and say, geez, he's so great, you got to leave him in. He hasn't been good for 3 years on that level that he was. Mm-hmm. So as a result, I think Fields will get a chance down the road.
Doggy, I'm surprised. With you sitting in that seat, I figured we would be at odds. But I agree with you on this, the fact that I think Russell will start the year week one as the starter. But by week four, I would not be surprised if we see Justin Fields. The question of is this a controversy or not, I think RC and I, we were on Get Up today and talked about this. To me, it's not controversy. It is a competition. Here's the question I have. If the Steelers were told by the Bears back at the combine, hey, you could have Justin Fields for a six, would Russell Wilson be on this roster right now? That's why I think the future, when I think of what the Steelers could be with Justin Fields, there is an unknown there. There is upside. We hear Mike Tomlin talking about, oh, there's a lot of meat on that bone. It's because we have yet to see Justin in a situation where he's entrenched in an organization that, for the most part, very stable and has committed to him and says, we can win with this guy. And I think the unknown with Justin, the ceiling is the roof. As we talked about on Get Up, Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof with Justin Fields and Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith. But I don't think it'll be a controversy. I think what you want is a competition, which is what you will have.
The other thing is this. The Steelers are operating in the most unlike Steeler way I've ever seen.
I love it.
Khan is not on that, hey, we got to just build through the draft or we got to wait till these guys develop. Omar Khan is like, hey, Kenny Pickett ain't work out, right? Coach Tomlin said, even though Kenny Pickett is healthy, that doesn't just guarantee you the quarterback job headed into the playoff when our third quarterback, Mason Rudolph, is playing out of his mind. We're going to go with that. The loyalties, I think, that Coach Tomlin has shown to some people, like a Matt Canada, like a Kenny Pickett, I think those things are over. What he did with Ben Roethlisberger, kind of riding him out toward the end of his career in hopes of winning a championship, all of that stuff is done. They are trying to win right now. They are trying to exceed the expectation of what you may think their roster can bring in the AFC North. The problem is Russell Wilson isn't going to change that. I don't think he moves that needle. Does he give them better play than they had last year? Absolutely. Can he be more than stable at the quarterback position? Yes, we saw him do that last year. But can he do some of the things that you think Justin Fields can do? And so it's about getting comfortable enough with Justin Fields to say, go play, go be you, go show us why you were drafted 11th overall, go show us those things that took you from Georgia to Ohio State and made you a first-round pick. And I think that sort of comfort, that sort of openness, that sort of environment is just the thing to get the best out of Justin. And this quarterback competition can be the same because we saw what happened when he left Georgia from being behind Jake Fromm and became the guy at Ohio State.
I think in a little bit, Pittsburgh's like an NBA team that is not good enough to win a championship, but is not bad enough to get a number one pick. You know, okay. Pittsburgh.
That's been the Steelers for a while.
And that's purgatory. That is the worst place you want to be.
That's how they ended up with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. They go 9-8 and 10-7 every year, which puts them in the periphery of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And maybe they sneak in as a seventh seed, but they don't have the quarterback to get them to the next level where they compete and maybe try to win a championship.
And the AFC North is loaded.
That's another problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't think Wilson is the answer to that. I don't think Fields is the answer to that either, but I do agree with Ryan. You're not 100% sure. I don't think Russell Wilson is good enough to beat out the Mahomeses, the Allens, the Aaron Rodgers, Burrow. So I think Pittsburgh is kind of in a very tricky spot. They've improved the quarterback room, but are they a big-time team? No. They're a 9-8, 10-7 team.
We also don't really know what Justin Fields is.
No, we don't. And I think the thing with Pittsburgh is they are always competitive in that division. Mike Tomlin is a man who gets a lot from a little. So when you think about the quarterback play, it's improved from last year. To your point, can they compete with the bigger dogs? We're about to find out. But you got to go through this season to see what you have. Justin Fields, if you can unlock this, his potential, his ceiling, I think they could have something special. But think about this team last year. The reason I say it's not a controversy is this locker room will determine who they want throwing them the football. I don't think it'll be a controversy because what we saw last year was guys said, hey, Mason Rudolph, that's the one we want. It's not Kenny Pickett. We want this offense to flourish. And now you got two quarterbacks who are better than what you had last year.
Yeah, quarterback room's improved. Quarterback room's improved.
RC, final word to you.
Yeah, the quarterback room has improved, but I think the competition is a good thing. I think having these two dudes who are both playing for their careers. Russell Wilson is playing to extend his career as a starter. Justin Fields is trying to get to that all-important second contract. They didn't bring in people that were self-made or people that were ready to walk off into the sunset and no longer be starting quarterbacks in this league. They brought in two dudes that are absolutely fighting, scratching, and clawing to be something, which is exactly where this team is. And if you can't ever get a number one pick, which I think Mad Dog illustrated perfectly, if you're never going to be in that position, your best hope is that a dude that has that sort of talent, Justin Fields, actually sees that come to fruition, right? And that potential turn into production inside of your building. And so to get him for a 6th-round draft pick, I'm rooting for him if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, because this could change your organization for the next decade.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it. They won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo, it's your time to shine, baby. You ready to do this?
I got Mr. Leggy with me today. We got three today. This first one drives me crazy. I know they want Caitlin Clark to go as far as possible in the women's NCAA tournament, but this is ridiculous. Did anybody see the game on ESPN a couple nights ago against West Virginia? And I don't like the home games anyway in the first two rounds for these teams. Connecticut played home. Iowa played home. I can't stand that. All these free throws! Did you see this? The game was tied with 3 minutes to go, and Iowa committed 11 fouls in a game, and West Virginia was called for 27. Did you see the free throws? Iowa, 25 of 30 from the line, and West Virginia got 5 free throws. 3 for 5. The game was tied with 3 minutes left. It's bad enough they got to play a road game in the second round of the NCAA tournament, but come on. That was an incredible disgrace. You got even enough. The game was tied with 3 minutes to go, so West Virginia belonged in the game. And West Virginia was not fouling to get the ball back. And I understand there's no one and one, so the free throw percentage took 25 of 30. So they outscored them 25 to 3 at the line. I know we all love Caitlin Clark. I get it. But that is reality. Jordan got calls too. But that is ridiculous what happened a couple nights ago in Iowa City. That is a layup. Leather's going to regret. Number one.
You get enough oxygen. I'm worried that you're getting enough oxygen right now.
I need to breathe. You agree? Yes,
I agree. There was definitely some calls that were a little bit questionable, but I think we're also all relieved that Caitlin Clark got through.
I mean, 25 to 3, Timmy.
Yeah. They made the plays down the stretch, though. She got some help from some teammates.
Say something. What do you mean looking at me that way? Say something.
Okay, you have a point.
Yeah, dog, I'm surprised that bothers you.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
I'm rooting for West Virginia. That's what it is.
He's a big star.
That is number one. Number two. Now, this drives me crazy, too. And I was in Gummy Land on Saturday. I had the whole family away.
I don't even want to know. Gummy Land is starting time for these NCAA tournaments.
I mean, you're starting games on the East Coast at 11 o'clock at night. Saturday and Sunday nights, you had these games end at 1 o'clock in the morning. College basketball is not big enough to go 12 consecutive hours and have all these standalone games and have the game go 2.5 hours because they're looking at a replay with flagrant fouls and if the ball slapped out of bounds by somebody. And then this week, think about it. It's like Easter week. It's Holy Week.
It is Holy Week.
Thursday night. Look at these. Put the times up. Look at these times. Illinois, an 8.5 hour. The game's not starting at 10 or 9.
Yeah.
Illinois and Iowa State. And the game is in Boston. The game is not in the West Coast. Illinois and Iowa State's at 10:09. Add 30 minutes. That's 10:30 at night. And then the next night, you got Creighton, Tennessee at the same thing. And they're in an East Coast time zone, too. They're in Detroit. Friday is Good Friday.
Yeah.
It's Holy Thursday on Thursday.
Right.
And I got to stay up to 1:45 in the morning to watch a 2-hour and 45-minute college basketball game. That is an absolute disgrace. That is number two.
Yeah, what is the deal with that?
I am not sure. I love that you started with gummies and ending with, it's a Holy Week.
I like that point better than the first.
Yes, me too.
You went too far with the Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Ooh, Leggy. You went too far.
Better with this one.
Good boy, Timmy. Go get it. Love it. All right, what's your thoughts, Miss Molly?
That one was great. The first one was a little suspect.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's why I was just quiet. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all.
All right, number three.
I'm the only person on the show that follows that rule, but yeah.
Number three. This is ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
You know I scream and yell about this.
What?
Tell the Eagle fan.
Oh.
Next Friday, next year.
I don't agree.
First Friday of the year, the Eagles open up the year
in
Sao Paulo, Brazil. On Peacock.
Yeah.
What? Peacock. So the Eagle fan who busts his butt to go to the link to see game after game and spends a fortune to do it, he's not going to fly to Brazil. He may not have Peacock. So he's going to miss the first game of the year so the NFL can make more money? I mean, really. I mean, that's being, it's bad enough they're on Amazon. It's bad enough they go play in Europe. It's bad enough they put extra millions of teams in, and they got an Amazon playoff game this year, too, which drives me crazy. They got to play the first opening game of the year with the Philadelphia Eagles in Sao Paulo on Peacock.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's hard to get Peacock. Yeah. I don't want to get Peacock.
You're right.
All right, I want to watch the game
normal. Right.
Give me Buck and Aikman. Give me the CBS crew. Brady's going to do it. Give me something. Don't put the Eagles 9,000 miles away and then put them on a cable thing on Peacock, which you got to subscribe to so NBC can make more money. And then Amazon Primetime, you're going to see about this in the middle of December or January. They're going to wild card game Amazon Prime Video, which means you can't switch with the remotes. You're stuck with the Amazon thing. I know the NFL prints money. I understand how big they are. But, boy, this gets obscene.
Yeah.
Obscene. That's number three.
100% right. I cannot stand having 8,000 different apps. It needs to be streamlined. It's annoying. You have to remember all these passwords. I don't have Peacock. I don't want Peacock. I completely agree with you. I do want to go to Brazil, and I'm cool with that.
The only difference, I'm going to tell you, I'm not an Eagle fan. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But I've lived in Eagle country for 40 years.
You're a
I know these people. They take over a stadium unlike
anyone. Oh, they go there.
They're going to be in Brazil.
Right. I agree.
There's going to be some Eagle fans.
But, Doggy, here's the thing. If you're the NFL, this is genius. You do put the Eagles on that type of team.
Because they're going to buy it.
Because they're going to. What's the point of it?
Well, they bought
Mahomes.
But it's hard. Then I get calls from my dad, like, what's blah, blah,
you're
blah.
You're just
blah.
Mad because you're going to
how do I download the app?
Password for the
how do I watch it? How do I do it? And then I got to do a tutorial over FaceTime. It's
and you can't
so
change the remote.
Yeah.
And you can't flip out the
channel.
Are you more likely to watch that on Peacock or Caitlin Clark at 10:30 in the Sweet 16 on Peacock? Which one would you rather watch?
The football.
There you go.
The football.
I'm surprised
people are going to watch that.
I am surprised at him.
For what?
25-3 at the free throw line?
He's still back
and he gives him a pass?
That was an alley fight. A lot of holding going on in that game.
Come on, Timmy. 25-3.
A lot of holding going on in that game.
And by the way, this is me now. Can we stop at the home games in the first two rounds in the NCAA tournament and the women? They play a home game.
I agree with that.
Do you know?
You're saying in the women's tournament?
Yeah, the first two games.
Yeah.
Did you know? You know what the record is for the one seed at home in the first two rounds of the in the second round of the NCAA tournament? 50-1.
Yeah,
there's never been an upset.
I agree with
that.
Put him in your home game.
You're right.
That drives me crazy. You should agree with the other one. I'm surprised.
Yeah. That should have been your number one.
Buildings up though, Doug. Yeah. That's what that's about.
Well, they want to sell seats.
Right. Exactly.
But I mean, you want to? It's the integrity of the tournament, Timmy.
You're 100% right.
The integrity of the tournament.
And
even Carolina doesn't play in Chapel Hill. They play in Charlotte throughout the way.
Can you just go back to flipping the remote?
Yeah, I don't want any more apps. I'm with you.
And by the way, Oregon Creighton, I fell asleep. Now there was a reason. I fell asleep. The game was over 1 o'clock in the morning. Enough.
Creighton. Creighton makes me a little nervous.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
To Buffalo we go, and it's not for wings, even though I'm hungry. The heartbreaker for the Bills against the Chiefs in the playoffs began in 2020 when Patrick Mahomes torched them for 325 yards, three TDs in the AFC title game. And it would only get worse from there. Buffalo had a three-point lead with 13 seconds left in the divisional round the next year, but Mahomes needed just two plays to set up the game-tying field goal. The Bills lost the coin toss, and OT never touched the ball again. The Bills are in the right to host the Chiefs in last season's divisional round, but Josh Allen moved to 0-3 against them in the postseason. Taylor Swift cheered, Jason Kelce went bananas, and, well, you know, the rest is history. Earlier this week, head coach Sean McDermott had this to say on the team's success thus far, saying, quote, "I think like anything, when you talk about the Bills, whether it's Josh, myself, our team, we've had so much success. What's left for Josh and for all of us is to take that next step that we need to take. To say we haven't had success or Josh hasn't had success, I think that'd be kind of narrow-minded." All right, Kimberly A. Martin, Ryan Clark, Mad Dog Russo,
here with us. Dog, I'll start with you. Do you agree with Sean McDermott?
No, absolutely absurd.
A lot of people are mad about this quote.
Yeah, Sean, you've played three times the Chiefs and they've beaten you three times in the playoffs. The franchise has lost four Super Bowls. It's a great franchise. They're due to win one. They want to win one. You got a great quarterback. Okay, you have not been to a Super Bowl. You have not played in a championship game. Remember, they every time they've lost to Kansas City or Cincinnati, it's in a divisional game. It's not a championship game. They have not played a championship game yet. They've won playoff games, but not a championship game. Sooner or later, Sean, with this quarterback, you got to take the next step. I understand Mahomes is sitting there, but sooner or later, in that city, that's 0-4 in Super Bowls, you got to win one. And you know, not next week, not 20 years from now, now. Win the Super Bowl.
Oh, not next week? Now win the Super Bowl. Okay. Now. You're sitting in that seat. Now it feels real. No, I disagree with you, Doggy. I've been critical of the Bills because of the caliber of quarterback they have. But I think we got to pump the brakes just a little bit. They have a top two, top three quarterback in the NFL. Five straight playoff appearances. Four consecutive AFC East championships. The last four AFC title games, the Chiefs were in all of them. The teams that they face were the Bills, the Bengals, and the Ravens. So to act like the Buffalo Bills do not know what success looks like, haven't done enough. Yes, we think they are good enough to win a Super Bowl. Yes, we think they have a quarterback talented enough to take them there. But you could look around the AFC and point to a lot of other teams that you think, okay, well, at some point you got to beat the Chiefs, right? Like every other quarterback, a Joe Burrow, he didn't win one. Now we're going to say that Joe Burrow's time in Cincinnati hasn't been good enough. Like Josh, like for everything we say about Josh Allen, this dude can ball, and he is one of the best quarterbacks we are seeing in the game right now. Yes, we want to see them win a Super Bowl because they're talented enough to do it, but to act like because they haven't won one means that, yeah, this team isn't good enough, and they got to win one now. I think that's a bit much.
RC?
Yeah, so I think Sean McDermott is right in this. Criticism of this team's success is narrow-minded, and the people that play football should be narrow-minded. The people that coach football should be narrow-minded. Actually, the people that play and coach football should be the most singularly focused people in the entire universe, because only one thing matters, the Lombardi Trophy. So you can talk about having some successes. That does not mean that you're a success, because along with those successes, you've had failures. Yes, they made it to the AFC Championship, but they didn't win it. You had a great game, Josh Allen, in the divisional round. And the only reason that you don't advance to the AFC Championship that year is because Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. Because Patrick Mahomes is that dude. Does it mean that Sean McDermott is not a great coach or a really good football coach because he hasn't won a Super Bowl? No. Marv Levy was an excellent football coach. Marv Levy did not win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Overall, Marv Levy had successes in his career. But by all intents and purposes, as the NFL goes, his career was a failure in doing the job he was hired to do, which is win a Super Bowl. Now, Josh Allen still has time. Sean McDermott is still the coach. So that means they could possibly win one next year or the year after. Or if they're still together at some point, they can win it. At this point, what he's saying is unequivocally wrong. If I'm in the locker room, I'm actually pissed off that he said this out loud. I don't want to be consoled. I don't want to be talked to by my coach like he is my mama. My mama's supposed to say that. Oh, bub. She called me bub. Now my nickname is Bubba. Oh, bub, you had a great year, though. Look at how far you come. You won a playoff game. That's what my mom's supposed to say, because she raised me. She born me, like they say in the country. Sean McDermott supposed to say, it's not enough. It's not enough to host a playoff game, have Patrick Mahomes on our field, and lose it. It's not enough. It's not enough with 13 seconds to allow them to drive the football down the field and get us in overtime. It's not enough. It's not enough the year before that Joe Burrow walked into Orchard Park and won the game. It's a failure.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You know why? Because I think that's partly pushback, because in Buffalo, they feel like Josh Allen gets unfairly criticized a lot. And I think this is sort of, it's Super Bowl or bust for Josh Allen. I think they're trying to take a step back and say that can't be we have a lot of great quarterbacks, a lot of good quarterbacks, but it can't just be Josh Allen doesn't win a Super Bowl or hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, so he stinks. I think there's a lot of that pushback against the criticism of Josh.
Josh is a great quarterback, a phenomenal talent. If you ask me, and they say, hey, you can have Josh Allen as your quarterback, I say, sign me up. Where do I go?
Absolutely.
Everybody wants that. And still, he ain't won no Super Bowl. So until he does that, he has failed in every season of his career.
Real quick, before we move on, of all the teams that haven't won Super Bowls, who do you think's the next closest?
That's a good question. You could say Detroit. Because the conference is easier.
Yeah.
And if you take an AFC team, you take Buffalo, you got to get through Mahomes. So that's the problem if you take an AFC team, is you got Mahomes sitting there.
Yeah.
But I would probably say Buffalo might be
the
closest.
I would say in the AFC, I would put my money on Bengals.
Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Tough argument. It's a good argument. And you could go either way.
I mean, 12.
I think it's the Lions. I think it's the team in the NFC.
Yeah.
Like it's hard. The AFC is such a treacherous row of quarterbacks and teams that the NFC and let's not forget the Lions were half away from being in the Super Bowl last year.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to see Detroit win also. It's your favorite time of the year with the start of MLB season. I love it. Springtime's upon us. It's Aries season. You know what it is. What's your World Series prediction?
I'm going to go 1983. That's the last time these two teams played in the World Series. I'm going to take the Phillies and the Orioles. Everybody's going to take L.A.
Okay.
They haven't won in eight since 88. The Yankees are a little old and a little banged up in the rotation. Atlanta, I don't love their starting pitching. Phillies have the two big starters. They're due to make that next step. Harper's a great postseason player. The Orioles, young.
Okay.
They brought an ace in from the Brewers, the pitch. That's a good World Series.
Yep.
Orioles, Phillies.
I'm into it. Good stuff.
2023.
All right.
Four.
So let me transition here. I want to get your thoughts on this. So among all the rule changes that's been announced, the NFL also dropped the news that there'll be two NFL games on Christmas this year, which falls on a Wednesday, the first scheduled Wednesday NFL game since 2012. This year, there'll be at least one game played on every day except for Tuesday, barring any last-minute changes. Oh, keep cashing those checks. Chris, do you like the idea of the NFL playing games on Christmas again?
Oh, thank God. Thank God I have something to do.
On Christmas? Christmas is about family.
I want to watch more football. I want to sit in my little room.
You have NBA already.
Well, I got the
NBA.
The NBA, the games are regular season games. I want to sit in my little room, open up a couple of gifts, hey, go ahead. Leave me alone. And I can sit there and I can watch the games in peace. It breaks up the family routine, breaks up the stupid games. It breaks
up
the
dinner. Is this because you're like an only child?
Maybe,
just wondering.
I don't have to worry about my mother. Oh, I'm watching football.
Because you're an
leave
only child.
Alone.
You don't like people around. What is it?
Remember, was that last year where he was shot? Photographed outside, like eating your
food by yourself.
Listen, as somebody who actually can't remember the last time she didn't work on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It is what it is. I do like it. Wednesday, it's during the week, so nobody's
gives you something to do.
Who doesn't love watching
you
the NFL?
You love it, too. You're gonna be, don't make it sound like you're Miss Family Woman. You're going to be watching the games.
I'm going to watch the games, and I'm going to eat, and I'm going to enjoy it.
And you're going to watch us?
Yeah. Obviously.
Hello. Live.
But I don't want to watch games in front of people. I want to be left alone in my little room.
I get it. I'm a little antisocial sometimes, too, but I like a balance of both. You socialize a little, you have a little alone time. It's all about balance in life.
I don't want people. I just want, I have four kids. I don't want people. Leave me alone.
They don't live with you. You don't even get to see them. They're adults.
I can say something there.
Wow. Don't get yourself in trouble.
Get myself in trouble with the
What's your favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Memorial Day. Memorial Day.
Why Memorial Day?
Makes you think of the summertime.
Okay. Thanksgiving's a good one because there's no pressure of gifts. You're enjoying
food. No, food.
Okay.
Food,
just
Molly.
Straight up food.
Food.
You like the food too on Thanksgiving.
Now, Stephen,
you're a big
that.
Valentine's Day guy.
Oh, I can't stand
I heard
that.
You're a big romantic on
you
Valentine's Day.
Love the
you're
romance.
You're already planning next season.
Romance.
Oh, I heard you like St. Patrick's Day. You like to throw them back. Green gummies.
You like Valentine's Day.
Yeah, of course I do, because I'm a lover, not a fighter. Hopeless romantic and proud of it.